From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Radio Hour as we launch our 23rd year on the air. And we're just so appreciative of everyone that has helped us along the way, all our great underwriters, all the just wonderful guests we've had over the years. Great producer, Gabe Sorensen, who has arranged all those guests and lines everything up. And, of course, you, the listeners, who have made it all possible. It was all the brainchild of Bishop Wiegand, and Bishop Soto has been so supportive along the way, and he comes on the program regularly, as he also does on our Spanish language sister stadium, Radio Santissimo Sacramento, and is very popular there as well. And just everybody who has contributed to this has just been a complete labor of love, a complete joy to be on the air talking about our precious Catholic faith. So thank you to everyone. A lot happening right now, and coming up Saturday night, May 14th, the Verdi Requiem, written by Giuseppe Verdi in 1877, I believe, to honor the death of his close friend and in Milan, in Italy. And it's going to be performed here in Sacramento at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center, the newly renovated, the old Sacramento Convention Center, right downtown. It'll be 8 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets are still available. Performed by the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, with a full orchestra as well. This will be the first performance by the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra since their annual Christmas concert in December of 2019. So almost 2.5 years since they have performed. They were so close to performing this last year, Gabe, about this time, when, again, COVID reared its ugly head and they had to cancel. This time they're back. They've all agreed to wear masks, but masks will not be required in the audience. They're certainly recommended and certainly okay if you do it. My wife and I are going to attend, and we're just so excited about it. Schola Cantorum will be the guest choir there at this event. And it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening here in Sacramento. And Jim McCormick, president, and this is all under the direction of Don Kendrick, who was so kind as to be on the show a week or so ago, and president of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra in their 26th year now, Jim McCormick. He was on the show the other day and brought some wonderful cuts. Gabe, let's hear a little bit of the Verdi Requiem, which people have a chance to attend Saturday night. Contact sacramentochoral.org or call them at 916-808-5181.
Thank you.
That's from the Verdi Requiem. And Don Kendrick, the conductor, founder and conductor of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, told us he was a young man and attended the Verdi Requiem back in Massachusetts. And he said it changed his life.
The title of that track, I'm going to attempt, Liber Scriptus. So I think, really, if no other reason to go, figure out the actual names of the titles that night, because there's no way I know exactly what they are. My Latin is just as bad as my Italian. It's just as bad as my...
I took Italian in college.
Did you? I took Latin in college.
Yeah. I did. Almost didn't get out of college because I took Italian.
I took a dead language, and I can barely speak the speaking.
My wife took four years of Latin in Catholic school, in high school. And I took a lot of Latin growing up because the Mass was
right.
in Latin.
Right, because the Mass. Yeah. One thing I could say I like about Latin is you learn it and then you realize, okay, that's the root of that word. Because there's so many words, you know, obviously in English and Spanish.
Really good at that.
Yeah.
You see a word that I go, man, I have no idea what that word means. You know, you're reading along and there comes a word and you think, gee, I went to college. I don't know what most of the words I'm reading in a newspaper are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think the writer is just showing off a little.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I'm going to use a big word here.
Of course.
You know? But she'll know right away what it means. Or pretty much what it means, because she knows all the roots.
It's like a secret handshake.
It is.
If you do the smarty pants thing and you decide to write words that are really big, the people who get it, they're like, okay, I get you. We're on the same level. Yeah, it's kind of like a secret handshake.
Yeah,
it's an intellectual handshake.
Yeah, I was the other day. I was reading about. I don't know where it was, but it was an interesting story. The New York Times has a section called the Science Times that comes out every Tuesday.
Okay.
Fascinating stuff from the world of science, and I'm not a scientist at all. It's written for lay people, and it's really interesting stuff, you know. And they use the words centripetal, and I'm going, centripetal, a force, you know, like a spinning force, and I'm going, what? I thought it was centrifugal force. Did we just say that wrong when we were kids? Centrifugal with a G.
No.
And I look up centrifugal force, and by golly, it's a word. It means you're spinning and you know, the force that tosses you off the merry-go-round.
Centripetal, I think, is walking.
Yeah, and by golly, it's they're two words. And they're right in the dictionary, it says, what's the difference between this and this?
What is the difference?
I couldn't tell. Both definitions sounded alike.
Because pedal would mean you're walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would. So I wonder.
It was centripetal, like P-E-T-A-L.
Oh, centripetal. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's words like that. You go, well, okay, centrifugal. We all know what centrifugal force is.
Right.
Sort of. Define it.
Well, then you get the ones that, like, you know, like Nat. There's no way Nat should be spelled Nat and say that. These silent letters and stuff just don't make sense.
I had a friend growing up in high school. His name was Nat, just N-A-T.
Right.
Nathaniel, probably. Mm-hmm. And we all called him Gannett.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course. It's funny, though, because we've talked to people on this show before who are from other countries and just different friends I've had. To a person, they all say English is the hardest language to learn. And not because it's so difficult, because a lot of things we do don't make any sense.
They don't make any sense.
Yeah, a lot of the rules just don't make sense.
A lot of our roots are the same. We're not exactly a romance language, but we're close.
Yeah, we're part Germanic, we're part Latin, we're part, you know.
German's pretty tough, too.
I heard German's tough. I heard that German, like Russian, though, once you get down the basics of it, it floods in, like, okay, now this makes sense. Where with English, you get the basics down, and then now you get to learn all the exceptions to those basics you just learned.
Well, I got a little German from my mom when I was growing up, but it was always when we were in trouble.
Yeah.
Her parents were from the old country, you know, and so she picked up a little bit in childhood.
Yeah.
And she could speak it when we were in trouble.
So instead of hearing your full name, you would hear your name in German?
Oh, yeah. And I would, you know, occasionally somebody right now will call me Robert. You know,
right.
And I say, no. Only my mom can call me Robert. And that's only when I'm in trouble.
You know, I know the one person on the show who consistently we have on that calls you Robert. We don't have him on that often, but whenever he does, he calls you Robert.
Is it Father Kiernan?
No. No, it's Jim Gray. Not Jim Gray. I mean, Walt Gray.
Oh, Walt Gray does call.
Walt Gray calls you Robert.
It's like a term of endearment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Oh, I know. My sister's the only person who calls me Gabriel, And it's funny when people do that, it kind of like kind of gives me a little shiver. I'm like, oh, that's my mom and my sister. My mom when I'm in trouble, my sister at all times.
Now, when you go, sometimes when you're, you know, some people, they learn, I don't know, Dale Carnegie Institute or something.
Yeah.
You always use the first name when you're, you know, get their name and then you always use it personalized yes. all the time. And if it's something you don't really want to buy, you just tell them your name's Gabriel or tell them your name's Robert.
Uh-huh.
Every time they do it, it's like fingernails across
yeah,
the
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I've talked to people sometimes who try to use that technique but are really bad at it.
Yeah.
So they'll use your name too much.
Yeah.
And you're like...
You know, it's really funny, though. You know, it's sort of like it's okay to hang up on phone solicitors or people that knock on your door or that kind of stuff. You know, and you think about it, as Christians, as Catholics,
mm-hmm.
those people have tough jobs.
Yeah.
I did that in college mm-hmm. a little bit. It was like Look magazine or Life magazine. I saw an ad in the paper, you know, come, you know, make big money
yeah.
and, you know, work part-time, work your own hours, all this stuff, you know. And it was like 5 to 9 in some little cubicle in Sacramento. And you're calling people cold and trying to sell them Look magazine, you know. And it's like, I didn't sell a single one.
Right.
Because... You know, they give you this script, and it says, when they say no, that's your opening. And I'm going, no, when they say no, I hang up.
Right, right.
But those people have tough jobs.
They do.
And people kind of brag about, oh, I hung up on them. You know, they're just, you know, no, be nice to them.
Or when people of other faith come to your house to knock on your door.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
you'd be nice to them, too.
You know, I have to admit, and it's only been boys with young men
uh-huh.
with the Mormons.
Right.
Jehovah's Witnesses tend to travel in pairs, and
so do Mormons.
And they travel in pairs, but they're very young.
Oh, yeah.
Jehovah's
yeah.
Witnesses, at least in our town, they are very sincere, good people.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, discuss things with them. Just
yeah.
you know, I find that discuss you know, like things that we hold mutually,
mm-hmm.
like our belief in Christ and
mm-hmm.
and Seventh-day Adventist,
mm-hmm.
the same. Do a lot of walking, you know, and they're just good, decent people. But it was interesting, the young Mormons who came by, they just knocked on the door. They didn't even have the Book of Mormon with them. They just said, would you like your lawn mowed? Or it was like...
They did the same thing with my wife.
Wow.
I was at work. They asked her, is there anything you need us to do around the house? Yeah. We're like, no, yeah. we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great.
Nice of them.
Yeah.
I had the same thing, but... much less faith-filled in that way with one of the people that will send you texts now, the cold calling.
Right,
it's a,
right.
It was a text, and it was for some candidate or what have you, and I just was like, no, this was a couple years ago. And mind you, this has nothing to do with faith, but I was just like, what are you doing on a Saturday working? And they're like, oh, you know, we work here on the weekends. And I was like, oh, this, you know, the new Marvel movie had come out. I was like, do you go see it? They're like, I haven't had a chance because I'm working. I'm like, you should go see it. And I talked to this person to go to the movies that night. And it's like, why would you not just be nice to the person? Just talk to him, you know?
Well, you know, I find when people of other faith knock on the door, it's a wonderful time
yeah.
to share my faith, to say, you know, I certainly respect and I honor you for coming here and being so kind and polite and sharing your faith.
Yeah.
I mean, that takes a lot of courage in this day and age to knock on a stranger's door. And
oh, yeah.
And I mean, you're going to get the door. Yeah, most people are going to just say no thank you and close the door maybe. Yeah. Or maybe they're going to engage with you. Maybe, obviously, they probably get new members of the church that way.
Mm-hmm.
No, or they probably would stop doing it after a while.
Right.
But I say, you know, I'm Catholic. Do you want to come in and talk about your faith and my faith?
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and not in a, oh, I'm going to give you your turn, but you've got to listen to me.
Right.
Just a joyful but serious conversation. And most of them are quite happy to do that.
Well, what's great about it is they don't have a quota. So if they spend 2.5-3 hours at your house hanging out, having coffee, talking about each other's faiths, it's not like they're going to go back and their bishop's going to be like, hey, numbers, you know, they're just there to do their thing. And one of the nice things about people who from all faiths that you talk to, that you can tell the sincerity of their conversation is not, they ask why, but they don't ask it in a certain way. It's like, no, you know, they come to the door, they're like, you know, have you heard about, you know, this and that? And you're like, oh, no, thank you. You know, I'm Catholic, or I'm not, you know, why? Like, you don't hear that. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's interesting. So what do you think the difference? Like, you know, it's nice that there are some people who sincerely want to talk to you about it. And those are the people that you, like you said, would want to talk to them about your faith that would actually be receptive to listening.
Yeah.
It's the ones who come to you like, why do you believe that? It's like, then those people already just want to argue.
Just exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So
our family a few years ago had the opportunity. We were just on vacation in Yellowstone and dropped down into Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to see the Cathedral of the Madeleine, which Bishop Wiegand, when he was Bishop of Salt Lake City, which is all of Utah, he renovated that cathedral.
Yeah.
And did a beautiful job. And we just happened to walk in right when it was a weekday mass was starting, so that was a double bonus.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't far from Temple Square.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Temple Square, and there was, you know, we had heard that you could go to rehearsals of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, wow.
And on X nights. And so we were getting there about 5 o'clock. And here's a sign on the door saying they were on tour or something. So they weren't going to rehearse that night. But we went into where they welcomed tourists.
The
visitor center. And some young women there were giving a presentation. And you know, we're sitting there. I think their kids were probably about 12, 11, 10, and 9, something like that.
Right.
And we're sitting there and just being polite and kind and learning more and just seeing the sights, too. It is a tourist attraction for sure.
Oh, I've been there, yeah.
Yeah, but every time I would hear something that didn't quite square with my understanding of you know, the history of,
right.
not the history of their church, but the history of Christianity.
Yeah.
I'd raised my hand and very polite. I said, well, what about this and that? And Shelley's elbowing me saying, Bob, they're 18. Give them a break.
Yeah. That's good, though. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, if they have an answer, then they have an answer. And if they don't, then it gives them something to look into. But it doesn't. I think a lot of people are so afraid to talk to people of their faiths because they, one, don't want to get into an argument because they think they will, or two, are, you know, concerned about looking as if, like, how kind of Shelley was saying, you were looking like you're being argumentative.
Yeah, or, you know, it's like, and this is unfortunate, I think, in this day and age. It is becoming sort of politically incorrect to be any kind of, not contentious or argumentative about somebody else's faith. You're just supposed to accept it at face value. Oh, that works for you.
Right.
This works for me.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's not Jesus's message. Jesus came and talked to the multitudes.
Well, like I said, the why question, it's good on one hand, and then if it's presented correctly, and it's bad if it's not. But now people are afraid to say the word altogether because it's like, I'm not questioning your faith. It's like, well, yeah, you're not questioning it, but you're also questioning things you don't understand. I mean, if we went through our entire lives without asking the word why, we'd all have a kindergarten education.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, it's okay to ask why. It's okay to not press people on their religion, but at least get them to explain themselves.
Yeah.
And it's not for a way where it's like, oh, I gotcha, you can't explain that. It's more like, I don't understand why you believe this way. It doesn't mean you're wrong. I just want to understand why you believe this way.
Well, we had a guest not very long ago who was talked about Father Charles D. Foucault, who mm-hmm. is going to be canonized on the 15th of May, so just right around the corner.
Yeah.
And he lived among Muslims in Algeria, and he said that being with them and talking with them and seeing their example, the way they followed their religion, brought him back to Catholicism.
Hmm.
Not as a rejection, he never became Muslim, but not as a rejection of that, but being like, wow, these guys are really fervent in their faith. What's the matter with me?
Right.
And he had grown up Catholic. He refers to it as a reversion. He kind of left the church or fell away from it and then came back.
Right.
Basically because of the example of the Muslims he was living among.
Well, if I remember correctly from the interview, he said something about sitting and having tea with those guys, and they and they would ask him all these questions about the Trinity and things like that.
Presence.
Yeah, right. And all that stuff. And it made him realize that he needed to get back to.
And he welcomed those questions.
Right. So again, when you ask the why questions, everyone has this negative connotation that you're pushing people away by asking why, when in reality, maybe you're pushing them closer and having the same conversation with fellow Catholics. It's like, why are you this way?
I would love for people to ask me about the Eucharist.
Right.
Is the real presence of Christ. I would love to be asked that. I don't know if I have the best answers in the world, but I mean, because, you know, faith's a funny thing. Mm-hmm. It's a gift from God. You know, you don't
can't really explain it.
You don't get faith by patting yourself on the back. You know, it's a gift, and a lot of what you believe is based on faith.
And the explanation of faith is such a in any capacity is such a like a fool's errand because you can't really explain it. You can only feel it.
Yeah, and I say to people, and I've actually had people tell me that was a good way to put that. It made me really think. People who maybe didn't believe in the real presence, and I say, I don't just believe in the real presence. To me, a belief is like one step below a truth.
Right.
A belief could well be true.
Right.
But I'm saying I believe.
Yeah.
Well, I don't just believe it. It's a truth. It doesn't matter if I believe it or not. It's still true.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And there are truths in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is not relative.
Yeah.
There are truths.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
I always think of it like a measuring, and maybe the carpenter analogy is even more layer than I realize, but you measure something, and you can measure it a bunch of times and know exactly how it's going to fit into the thing you're about to put it into. Or you can kind of eyeball it because you got a lot of experience, and you go, you know what? I believe it's going to go in there. It's good.
Yeah.
One's a belief, one's a truth. When That's you right. line it up against it, you're going to find out.
You're going to find out right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, one's true and one's, yeah. So, yeah, there's facts, there's beliefs, and there's truths.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes one goes all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, faith is, you know, it's a gift. It's a gift from God, and, you know, we are lucky to have a God that gives us that gift. You know, we were talking a little bit about this Saturday, the 14th of May, the performance, the Verdi Requiem, the first performance by the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra since December of 2019 because of COVID. And you can get your tickets at sacramentochoral.org. It'll be at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center in downtown Sacramento, 8 p.m. this Saturday night. Go to Sacramento Choral, that's C-H-O-R-A-L, Sacramento Choral, C-H-O-R-A-L.org, or give them a call, 916-808-5181, and we'll take you out to break with some more selections from the Verdi Requiem by Giuseppe Verdi.
Thank you.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, this is Brian Visitation, Director of Media and Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back. And it's a beautiful day that the Lord has made. Greatly appreciate you all being with us. A lot happening here in the Diocese of Sacramento. This Tuesday, May the 17th, Religious Liberty and Parental Responsibility in K through 12 Education and Curriculum. Guided by three keynote speakers, this free event will equip people of faith to respectfully engage in the public square with religious convictions demonstrated in winsome and redemptive fashion. You'll also have an opportunity to meet other parents and leaders in local school districts, including Roseville, Rockland, Western Placer, Elk Grove, Folsom, Cordova, Sacramento, San Juan, Buckeye, and West Sacramento. Why should you attend? Again, it's 7 to 8:30 p.m. at William Jessup University. Learn about the legalities of religious liberty and parental rights in K through 12 education. Network with other families and interested parties in your school district. Discover ways to share religious faith with care and compassion and strengthen your role as a parent in the democratic process. It's been organized by the Catholic Diocese of Sacramento, William Jessup University, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The speakers include Kathleen Domingo from the California Catholic Conference. She's the executive director representing all the bishops in the state of California to the California legislature. Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. He's the founder of that. And Jay Pimentel, who is an attorney at law. For questions, contact Moises De Leon. He's at M De Leon. That's MDELEON at scd.org, or give them a call, 916-733-0133. Thank you, Moises, for helping to put this together. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Jean Condon from St. Mills in Fair Oaks. Jean, good day to you.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
We're doing very, very good. You got your dancing shoes on?
They're very comfortable, thank you very much.
If I was dancing, I'd be barefoot.
You like to dance barefoot then, huh?
Well, I didn't say I like to dance. I just said if I was dancing. Yeah. The problem is I have like size 14 feet. So if I step on somebody with big clunky shoes on, it's really going to hurt. Barefoot's a little bit hurt them, not me.
So your wife must have delicate feet, and she's very light of air, so
yes.
she can dance
yes.
around here?
That's exactly right.
That or stand on your feet.
Yes.
Right. Hey, Bob, I want to let you know I have Cliff Leiker with me. We talked with you a couple weeks ago about the very subject we're going to talk about.
Very good.
Cliff's back with me again.
Cliff, welcome.
Well, thank you. So I'm Cliff Leiker. I'm with the Knights of Columbus.
Yes.
We're with Phillips Council 6066 and the St. Mel, and we're happy that you're giving us this opportunity to talk about the Dance for Life.
Right. May the 14th at St. Mel's. What time does it start?
The dances will start at 6:30 and go until 10. We've kind of targeted the first hour and a half for families and their children.
Uh-huh.
And then from 8 to 10 would be more geared toward adults and couples, that type of thing.
Very good. Very good. Is it free, or is there an admission charge, or...
Well, this is a fundraiser. We are trying to say raise funds for the Sacramento Life Center.
Well, then you can charge anything you want to. That's such a good cause.
We're trying to be reasonable.
Yes.
Yeah, we're charging about $20 per adult. That's 18 and older.
Perfect.
And then $10 for children 13 to 17, and then under 12 and 12 and under are free.
Very good. Very good.
We're also asking for a tray or a dish of finger food along with that.
To share.
Share. Yes.
Oh, very good. Very good.
It's kind of interesting, too, Bob. You know, saving babies is a family affair. It can't be up to just men or just women or just adults. But when the children are ready to go with their parents and you know, not run off, it's a big impact for someone who's pregnant and in a crisis pregnancy to see children, to see babies. And mm-hmm. so... to welcome entire families out to come and start getting that mindset in of being pro-life. It's a beautiful thing. And so we were kind of excited to have the first hour and a half for whole families to come and dance. And then afterwards, the last 2 hours for couples to have a little date night.
Yeah. I mean, the couples could dance too, you know, from 6:30 on. But like I said, the music that's been selected is geared toward families and their children the first hour and a half.
Very good, very good. Who's selecting the music?
Well, this was a combination of the DJ who's done a lot of Christian dances before,
mm-hmm.
Gene, myself, and the Grand Knight and Deputy Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus. We all had a part in selecting the music. So I feel like we probably hit all the sweet spots, I think.
Yeah.
I like it. See, if my sister was there, my oldest sister, I have many sisters, but my oldest sister, she'd want 40s music, swing music from the 40s. That to her is what you dance to, period.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the music that we selected will be from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and some 80s.
Good.
And all clean. Nothing that would make anyone blush.
Why am I not surprised?
Oh, well, you know, we have to be very intentional about this.
Well, no, you do. It's especially nowadays. But, you know, even way back when, every now and then, you know, you listen to an oldie station or something, and you're kind of singing along with the words, and you kind of stop. You say, what? What did I just say? You know,
yeah.
Not a terrible word, but just the kind of the intentions of the words or something, you know, and you go, oh, that doesn't sound quite right.
Right.
Now, this DJ said he purchased a special edition of the music, the rated G version. So the lyrics have
oh,
been
interesting. Yeah.
Written, so.
Oh, that's just wonderful. So, you know, talk about a little bit about the Sacramento Life Center. This is their 50th anniversary year. They actually precede Roe v. Wade by just a little bit because California had already legalized abortion before Roe v. Wade.
I learned something new every day. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
They were created in 1972, and but the amazing thing about the Sacramento Life Center, headed up by Executive Director Marie Leatherby, is that they have a 95% success rate. So when a young mother comes into the organization there, to the facility, they have an unwanted or unplanned pregnancy, and of course they're probably in distress. The organization has a 95% success rate in providing with prenatal care, pre-medical care, counseling, and they also supply the first 2 years of life, they supply baby supplies. They're able to help the mother, keep the baby, or give it up for adoption. And it's, so they have a 95% success rate of doing that. And I think it's really one of the best ways to fight abortion.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that the Sacramento Life Center can do, because they do such great work, is get the word out even more. You know, it's, we have them on a lot. I know they get a lot of good exposure in the community, but boy, wouldn't it be nice if somebody could come along and give them a whole bunch of billboards, or, you know, because they are so supportive. And I have trouble imagining somebody who is in a so-called crisis pregnancy, and they've sorry, most have gone away from that term because it kind of casts it in a negative light to begin with. But someone who's in a pregnancy and maybe is on the fence, and there's a phone number there, and somebody says, you need help, we'd be happy to talk with you. Because once you start talking to Marie and her staff, they're just there to help you.
Yeah, I think it's an amazing organization. I think they have an amazing staff. I think they're doing God's work, in all honesty, there at that facility.
Yep.
And providing that medical care for their mothers and the baby supplies. And so we just want to be able to contribute to them. Besides, we do quarterly baby supply drives at the church of St. Mel. And we're getting participation by quite a few people from the church for that. And we're happy to do that. And we also wanted to add a fundraiser, an annual fundraiser. So this might be the beginning of our annual fundraiser for them. So we're excited about it.
Yeah, that would be just great. You know, you sometimes you hear this criticism, oh, you people only care about the baby in the womb. You don't care about them once they're born, and it's just so untrue when it comes to the Sacramento Life Center. They're there all the way.
And that's why I think they're so effective in helping the mother, you know, encouraging her, letting her know that there are people there to help her with this child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this dance is going to be a great fundraiser for them as well, and it's also a great fundraiser, huh?
Oh yes, we got a couple of the things happening there too, Bob. We have a photo booth. My husband's going to be taking pictures, and people will pay $5 and they can get a nice family portrait. And we've also got 3 homemade quilts we're going to raffle off. So, all in support of life.
These are handmade quilts,
yep.
And they're beautiful.
Yep, one's from, it's a sunbonnet Sue is the old-fashioned name for it. It's like for a twin-size girl's bed, and the other two are baby quilts. One is just like a pinwheel patchwork, and then the third one is Noah's Ark, and it's hand-embroidered.
Oh, boy.
So we're talking about having door prizes as well for those of people that come to the dance, and it should be just a great time to celebrate life and enjoy each other's company at this dance. And we're really looking forward to it. The word's getting out and about at St. Mel, and I hopefully out there as well, and those people that are listening to your radio station, and all are welcome. So.
Do you need any RSVP or anything like that?
Well, we are selling tickets online to the local council's Knight of Columbus website. It's KOC, so KOFC6066.org. And if someone wanted to buy tickets, they could go there, go to that website, and they could order the tickets online. And the tickets will be sent to them. I think it's going to be email. And then they could present it when they get to the dance. There'll be a list of names. So if they sign up on the website, there'll be a list of names that they can check off.
Very good. Again, all at St. Mel. You're on Pennsylvania Avenue in Fair Oaks?
That's right. In our parish, in the gym. It's right beneath the church, right there. We across the street.
Across the street from the center.
Center, right. Right. They have carpet. We don't want to dance on carpet.
Yeah, it's a gymnasium. It's called Doheny Hall, it should be a lot of fun.
Very good. Well, thanks to the both of you for helping put this on, and especially for joining us today. Much appreciated, and we hope you just have a mob.
Thank you. Hey, Bob, can I tell you one more thing?
Yes, absolutely.
This dance is a real joint effort between the Knights of Columbus and a new ministry at St. Mel's called Catholic Family Life, and this ministry is only 6 months old, and what it's really developed for is this next generation of young families. They have to work real hard to keep the Catholic culture alive in their families, because the secular culture is doing a bang-up job pulling Catholics away from virtuous family life. And so we've got this new ministry called Catholic Family Life, and we're working together, both ministries, Knights of Columbus and Catholic Family Life, to put this dance on.
Well, we're excited about this opportunity to work with the Jean's group, and to be honest with you, I look forward to seeing the Knights getting more involved with other groups within the church, doing joint efforts like this going forward. So
very good. Well, it's such a great parish, and know it's going to be a great success. So thank you both, and keep the faith.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.
God bless.
Hey, God bless you all too. Thanks so much, and everybody there at St. Mel's. Wow, it should be a lot of fun. Get your dancing shoes on. So much happening here in the diocese. This is a letter that came out from Bishop Soto last week. Please join me in observing the ancient practice of Rogation Days. That's Rogation, Rogation Days, May 23rd, 24th, and 25th of 2022. Invite your parish communities to implore God's mercy for more rain, to bring an end to the drought in California, to bless the precious earth that nourishes us, and protect our forests and mountain communities during the coming months from the risks of wildfires. Let us join in prayer and charity with many brothers and sisters facing the challenges of the prevailing ecological crisis, the drastic drought conditions in California, and the fears of another unpredictable season of wildfires weigh on the minds and hearts of many. The crisis offers an opportunity for us to join in reflection and prayer, asking the Lord Jesus for the wisdom and charity to be better stewards of our creation and companions of our brothers and sisters who suffer the consequences of the many natural calamities that plague us. Please, and this is from Bishop Soto, may the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and St. Isidore the Farmer accompany us in these efforts. And this is along those lines. This is a release from Miriam San Martino, who is the executive director of the director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns here in the Diocese of Sacramento. She writes, Jaime Soto invites all the parishes to celebrate the ancient tradition of Rogation Days this May. The Office of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns provides the following information as an aid to the observance of Rogation Days: imploring God's mercy for more rain to bring an end to the drought in California, to bless the precious earth that nourishes us and protect our forests and mountain communities during the coming months from the risks of wildfires. Let us join in prayer and charity with many brothers and sisters facing the challenges of the prevailing ecological crisis. The Rogation Days were customarily held during the 3 days preceding the Feast of the Annunciation of the Lord, when this was observed on Thursday. And that, of course, the Ascension Thursday, which many of us grew up with, which was 40 days after Easter. Now that it's observed on Sunday. But farmers would often have their fields blessed for a bountiful harvest. Prayer, fasting, and abstinence are encouraged for these days. Miriam goes on to say this is a good time to reflect on the themes of integral ecology, environmental justice, and the care for our common home, as called for in the encyclical of Pope Francis, Laudato Si. May 22nd to 29th has been designated as Laudato Si Week, During the Rogation Days, parishes are invited to pray for the care of the creation that cares for us. The Eucharist, as well as many of the sacraments, are celebrated with the fruits of creation, bread, wine, water, and oil. In every Mass, the fruits of the earth and the work of human hands become for us the body and blood of Christ. The included in the general intercessions are prayers for rain, prayers for a bountiful harvest, prayers for contrition and the acknowledgement of our role as the stewards of the creation God has entrusted to us, prayers for farmers and all those who labor in the fields, prayers for the protection of human life, especially the unborn and the frail elderly. Also, St. Isidore is recognized as the patron of farmers due to his faithful attendance at daily Mass before going out to labor in the fields. Pastors of parishes in rural areas may consider a Eucharistic procession with benediction in the fields, observing all the proper rubrics. This year, the Feast of St. Isidore the Farmer is May the 15th, which falls on a Sunday. Prayers asking the intercession of St. Isidore may be included during the Sunday liturgies and during the Rogation Days. Caring for God's creation is an ongoing mission to work towards integral ecology. God's generosity in creation should inspire our generosity toward the poor and their struggles for a good life in a healthy environment. And, of course, St. Isidore Parish is up in Yuba City and right in the heart of farmland, right here in the very, very fertile Sacramento Valley. So that's something to plan for and to keep in mind. Again, Rogation Days, May 23rd, 24, and 25. It's one of those things you want to Google and read all about what people did, quote unquote, in ancient times or in the olden days, if you will, to see exactly how they celebrated it. Also, a number of events coming up throughout the year, including, well, this is actually the next year. The itinerary is out for World Youth Day 2023, not this summer, next summer, a year from this August, will take place in Lisbon, Portugal. The Holy Father will be there. Bishop Soto will be there. And a group of 30, and you could be one of them, will go from the Sacramento Diocese. Departure will be from San Francisco on July the 29th, my brother's birthday, and they will return on August 7th, so about a 10-day trip, and includes you arrive in Lisbon, you transfer to Santiago de Compostela to your lodging, dinners are planned, a lot of events are planned, but a lot of spare time too. It's not part of the itinerary, but there will be time to go to Fatima if you wish to go to Fatima. Not that far away. That's something you would arrange on your own or with your, you know, with part of your travel group, if you will. There will be Mass at St. Anthony Church in Lisbon, which is built over the birthplace of St. Anthony of Padua. And then all kinds of great events. And then the Pope will welcome everybody on day six, a Thursday. There will be catechesis, youth festival, Way of the Cross with the Pope, a pilgrim walk, a pilgrim vigil with Pope Francis, and finally on the final Sunday, the closing Mass with Pope Francis, and then back on the plane to San Francisco. So should be just a fabulous, fabulous trip. For more information on this, you can go to scd.org. That's the diocesan website, scd.org / WYD 2023. So that should be a great trip to Lisbon. Have not been there. Gabe, have you been there? Been to Lisbon? Nope. Shaking his head? Nope. No visit to Lisbon so far? Nope. Have been to Europe, but have not been to Lisbon. Also, Save the Date Mental Health Ministry Conference, May 19 to 21, at the Jesuit Retreat Center in Los Altos, down in the Bay Area. There will be pre-conference mental health first aid training, building a culture of community, equipping leaders for mental health ministries, ministry, co-sponsored by the California Catholic Conference, which represents all the bishops of the Diocese of California, and also by co-sponsored by the Association of Catholic Mental Health Ministers. Among the speakers, the Most Reverend John Dolan, who's an auxiliary bishop in the Diocese of San Diego, Maribel Laguna, who's a board member of the Catholic Psychotherapy Association, assistant clinical director at In His Image Counseling Center in Irving, Texas, in the Dallas area, Father Ron Rollheiser, faculty, past president, Oblate School of Theology in San Antonio, and Laura Lewis, assistant director of the Suicide Prevention Program at Ohio State University. For more information, you can contact the Diocese of Sacramento, or you can register at bit.ly/mhconf, C-O-N-F, 2022. Again, save the date, May 19 through 21. Also, a number of pro-life gatherings 2022 throughout the summer. Natural Family Planning Workshop will take place Saturday, July 16 at Our Lady of the Assumption Parish, OLA, in Carmichael. That will take place from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. There will be a meeting of the about the Gabriel Project on Saturday, August 6th. Just circle these dates. We'll certainly remind you as we get closer. But on Saturday, August the 6th at St. Philomene's Parish, right here in Sacramento, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and a Respect Life gathering on Saturday, August 27th at Holy Family Parish in Citrus Heights. That one will be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So you'll have a chance to meet some wonderful speakers, to share best practices, to network with other parishes, and connect with local resources and organizations. For more information, you can contact Moises De Leon. Moises is at MDELEON at scd.org, or call the Respect Life office at 916-733-0133. And anytime you have any question about any of these things, if you go to scd.org, it will you can find all of these. You can look under events, or look under Respect Life Ministry, or even look under the Bishop's Radio Hour to see how to contact us. And that's something we always want to encourage people, that we are always looking for guests here on the Bishop's Hour. And sometimes we get asked, how come you didn't have so-and-so, or how come you had this but not that? And or maybe you say, there's something great going on in our parish, or there's somebody in our parish that did something great, or somebody at the school. And they don't even have to have done something great. You want to have a ministry, get a little exposure for it. Maybe you're having a parish festival. Maybe you're having a fundraiser for a great cause. Those kinds of things, we want to hear from you and get you on the air, and so you can publicize your event, or give some credit where credit is due, give a pat on the back, and attaboy to somebody who's helping to do the Lord's work in the Lord's vineyard. So you can go to scd.org and go to the Bishop's Hour, or go to radio at scd.org, and there we will be. You can how to contact Gabe, how to contact me. You can do it by email. You can do it by phone. We always want to hear from you. Or if you missed a show and you want to find it, you'll find it on the archives right there at scd.org as well. So there's a lot of ways to do it. So a reminder again, Saturday the 14th, there's the Dance Your Shoes Off, Dance for Life at St. Mel's in the evening, and also the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra Verdi Requiem downtown at the Safe Life Performing Arts Center, Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center, the Verdi Requiem. Go to sacramentochoral.com. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and long-standing support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
I feel it burning deep inside of me. I feel your spirit. You're